When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive. Bit Season, couple of regular guys. It's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 41. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm Ryan the Stallion.
Or should we call you social media mogul Ryan the Stallion? Hey,
what's going on with the Stallion on Twitter? I see him blowing up all over the place. The New York Post.
He had himself quite a day yesterday.
New York Post just wrote an article about Ryan Clary's Twitter. I'm not even making this up.
It was a crazy day yesterday. Like, that's all I could say right now.
And Ryan just walked in here like a minute ago. I don't really have any frame of reference of how this happened. I saw two tweets yesterday of his, at least, that blew up. I think he tweeted about Juan Soto.
I tweeted a clip about Terry McLaurin.
Oh, Terry. Okay.
Yeah, so he tweeted a video clip.
And I saw it had like 1,000 likes.
That wasn't your original video, was it?
Well, I mean, I just screen recorded it off of the press conference.
So, stolen valor. All right, so someone else, you content lifted somebody else.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
basically,
he content lifted the team. He didn't content lift like JP Finley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was recording it off the team's website. So, I mean, I robbed the Commanders. Sure.
Did you retweet that from like the station account or something to get your?
No, I swear. Like, I literally recorded it myself. I recorded it and cut it up myself.
They went viral.
Yeah. Had like 30,000 views, over 1,000 likes.
All right, imagine just being a number on social media like Ryan is and getting 1,000 likes on a tweet, and that's not even your biggest tweet of the day.
Oh, yeah, then later. What happened later? Because I saw when this post, when you posted it, firsthand. First of all, I go, why is he driving in and recording?
Oh, all right.
Because that was like, that's unsafe. He's got his phone out recording everything. And there was a helicopter in the middle of the highway.
Yeah. So, okay. I was on my way home last night, like around 6:30 or so. And
second the show ends.
Yeah.
395.
They got a Lurch producer in the afternoon.
CK's out this week. So, you know.
You learned from the best.
Drab, I don't know about
it. We taught you well, didn't we?
So, I slipped out a little early last night. And then,
like Fred Flintstone. Here's that horn. He's running out of there, jumping off of a dinosaur's neck.
And so, I was getting off South Capitol Street on a 395, and then I saw this helicopter flying super low on the highway. And I was like, at first, I thought it was going to crash just because, like, I didn't know what was happening. And so,
are you in Virginia yet or still in D.C.?
Still in D.C. Still in D.C., right off South Capitol Street, getting on 395. And then all of a sudden, it like just hits a U-turn on the highway. And I'm like, oh my God, like this thing's coming right at me. And so then I just see it start to propel down and it's landing on the highway. And then that's when I decide, I'm like, I got to get my phone out for this and record. This is nuts.
All right. Well, is your side of the traffic, a street is full stop?
Full stop. Yeah. But everyone's watching the helicopter at this point. People are getting out of their cars and everything. And so then I just took my phone out and started to record, and I started recording. It already landed by then. And then I was just trying to figure out what was happening because there's cop cars everywhere. The helicopter landed.
It'd been like a terrorist attack almost. That's what I
didn't know. And like people were watching like from on top of the bridge there on Main Street.
Uh-huh. And everyone clout chasing like you.
Yeah, like everyone was recording. They all had their phones out. And then, I just saw it land, and I go by it, and I'm such a nosy person that I had to figure out what was happening. So the first person I hit up was Eric Flack, the investigative reporter from WUSA 9.
I said a loser.
Investigative reporter. Did you share the video with him and said?
Yeah, so I sent him the video, and I was like, "Hey, man, like,
I'm working on a murder case or something."
I was just like, I just want to know what's going on with this. Like, I just saw this happen.
Hey, some sort of governmental corruption case that he's been working years on, and Ryan Clary hits him up.
I actually knew about this before he tweeted it, because I texted Ryan last night because I thought I had some sort of betting angle. Did not hit, by the way.
Not at all.
Another Red Sox pitcher. And I thought Ryan would be interested in it. And he goes, "By the way, there's a helicopter landing on the freeway. I'm going to text Eric Flack to find out what's going on." And he's like, sends me the screenshot of him and Eric Flack talking about it. I'm like, "What are you doing? Leave that alone."
So, yeah, I sent it over to Eric Flack, and he says, "I'll ask what's happening." And then he said, he texted it to our desk guy, and his response was, "Whoa." Oh. So that's when I was like, okay. And so that's, I texted Drab. I said, "Call me Scooby Clary."
When did you find out that there was a motorcycle policeman who was in some sort of accident?
Eric actually sent me a text once he figured that out, and just sent me like the press release. And I was like, oh, and obviously, I hope everyone's okay.
When did you realize that the New York Post picked up your tweet and you went viral on the New York Post?
Well, this like nubby girl like slid in my DMs like, "Hey, we were wondering if we could use this for our story on the New York Post." She only had like 8 followers. So I kind of thought it was like a scam. And then I was just like, sure. Because I mean, hey, I'm going to be on the New York Post. It's kind of silly. And hey. And so
I'm looking at FoxNews.com. U.S. Park Police helicopter lands on D.C. freeway to rescue motorcycle officer after accident.
Is my video in there?
Look. It's a picture of the accident, or the helicopter. Says at Ryan Clary 11.
Fox News. Oh my god. So all right, then, yeah, like I guess it just took off. Like, I was just so curious, I wanted to figure out what was happening.
Let me ask you a question. Was yesterday such a banner day for your Twitter that you had to turn off the noties?
Because your phone
wouldn't stop buzzing or
that's
banging.
The dream, isn't it?
Yeah, you had to turn off those noties.
I did. I'm not going to lie. I had to mute my phone overnight just because of all the buzzing. And then once the New York Post article came out, that's when it's still blowing up right now.
Have you gotten any new followers?
I've only gotten like 20 new followers, if that. Like, of all, I mean, it's not bad.
It's hard to get followers.
It is.
The tweet needs to go viral, not necessarily having it plastered on a news service.
What's Valdez's most viral tweet?
I don't know. How do you find that out?
You can just Google. There's like websites that like run through your timeline, and I thought you've had something before with like at Congo or
yeah.
I thought you had a viral tweet before.
I'm
maybe
sure
it was
you
a tiger's
have.
Dong.
Actually, I did have a tweet. I think it was like during a Thanksgiving football game. The Big Lead like picked up on it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know how the Big Lead will say, "Hey, so this happened during the game," and it made people on Twitter go crazy, and they would like feature ten tweets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then one of mine like popped up on there, and then it got a billion different likes on that.
Oh.
But I don't know off the top of my head.
All right. I'm sure I'm signing up for some sort of malware here to figure out.
I know
my
one
top
thing.
Tweets.
I have a lot of duds.
I have so many.
Valdez had a massive dud this past weekend. I actually felt bad for him.
Let me hear it.
You know, because he was trying to he was trying to jump on the Brian Windhorst meme.
I was.
And then he goes,
it was a great tweet.
It was such a dud.
It was poor timing. It was poor timing.
Well, explain the tweet.
I didn't even understand
the tweet was. The tweet was the picture of Brian Windhorst with his fingers up in the air going like this.
Yeah.
And I said, hold on, I'll bring up the exact wording. I said, when you send the tiger nude to your boys in the group chat before he tees off. And then it has his fingers like that, and it looks like a foot long.
I think that's actually funny.
But nobody was looking at Brian Windhorst as a measurement tool when he was doing this.
Because they were doing when I go to Subway and they ask what kind of sub I want. Do I want the 6-inch or the foot long? I do this.
I didn't even understand. I literally didn't understand his tweet. I'm like, I didn't even get a sympathy like. I was so embarrassed by it. I didn't even give him a sympathy like, which I do all the time.
I kind of like it though. I'm an easy guy to make laugh.
Got 30 likes. That was my hot tweet right there, right. Claire. It's no New York Post isn't running with it.
I think it's funny.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'll get a sympathy like.
I think I got like 2,000 likes one time when Juan Soto was doing the grab his crotch bit.
Oh,
during the World Series. I was the first one to screen grab it, and I said something like, give me all of this or something. Oh. And all the Nats fans got excited.
Juan Soto.
Man's pulling his nuts off. And they're saying, give me all of this.
19-year-old kid at the time, too.
He's erotic. I didn't know you're into young boys, Drabby.
What are you doing?
I went viral.
Oh gosh.
Well, congrats to you.
Yeah,
big
congratulations
week.
Congratulations on your big
fun.
Day.
It's always fun when you have a tweet blow up.
It was funny.
Next time use the BitSeason account.
I did.
At least 50-50.
So I did with the Daily Voice. They were the last ones to come back to me, and I credit and they did credit BitSeason.
What is the Daily Voice?
I don't even know.
What is
I
the Daily Voice?
You know, it sounds like the Seinfeld propaganda paper, the Daily Worker that Kramer was reading.
The commie
rag.
Yeah. All right. I actually think I've heard of the Daily Voice.
Is it Ivan? Rozikov.
Oh, man. Oh. Yes.
11,000 followers.
See? It's not too bad, though. That's not bad.
Maybe I haven't heard of the Daily Voice.
I haven't heard of it either. I'm not going to lie, but... I did credit.
It's a South African Cape Town newspaper. Oh.
That's crazy.
News magazine or something.
Big on apartheid. Covering all angles of that.
All right. Hey, so speaking of 19-year-olds, Clary, Valdez and I were just into a heated debate about popping pimples when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
And it came up on the Junkies today because we were talking about how Sierra was popping Russ's zits on the boat in Italy. And like somehow TMZ got the pop photo.
They had some drone hovering around their boat to watch the pimple popping going on.
And I told Valdez that Clary, the stallion seems to me like he was a big zit head. Is that true?
Do you have the skin for it?
He's got no acne scars, I'll give him that. But he's got that bright pink face.
Yeah.
I had a lot of zits back in my day.
That's a great story.
I had so many zits. I was like the pimple popping king over here. Like everyone was always asking to pop my pimples.
Oh.
They love, like people love that. They love, I don't know why.
Wait, your boys were popping your pimples?
No, it's girls. Like they just love to do it.
Yeah, the girls do like that. But why? You're such a ladies' man.
Why is that?
You're such a...
I guess it was
a freak show.
Yeah. It's like a circus. Where were all the pimples located on you? What was the biggest location?
Right here in the lips. Just right there. Yeah, I know. It was the worst. Worst location.
A zit on the lip. Is there anything more painful than a zit on your lip?
Oh, nothing. There's nothing.
You like the idea of
a
chick popping it and then smooching right after.
You can't pop them. On your lip, they're like impossible to pop.
Exactly.
It hurts.
And no, have you ever had one like in your ear before?
Yeah, those are
No.
Those are the greatest.
Yes.
The explosion in your ear.
The behind your ear or in your ear pimple is the greatest because as soon as it pops, it's so satisfying.
It is.
You get gunk all in your ear.
Uh-huh.
It's and better get, than any orgasm I've ever
had. And you get to hear the pop,
yeah,
too.
That's why. I think you get to hear it.
No, but it still hurts, though, to pop it. And, I'm a big Q-tip guy, and that really irritates it back then.
Can you imagine what Ryan Clary's mirror looked like as a kid in the bathroom? just squirting at it like a bullseye.
Guys, I remember my mirror in high school. I can remember like it was yesterday. So much dried pus on that thing. Because guys would never wash their mirrors.
Never wash the mirror. I don't know. I guess it was emasculating to wipe the mirror down from all your pus. But you would just... It almost was like a a badge of honor to leave up all your dead soldiers on the mirror.
Yeah. That's when I used to have a scab jar. That reminds me of when I had a scab jar. At one point in my life, I had a scab jar.
Because I got you're gonna make me cute.
Isn't that a great idea?
No.
Oh, dude, I'm thinking about
that silly off, and you're like, and it's the perfect, and you didn't tear it at all, and it's so hard and crusty, and then you put it in a mason jar in your closet.
I've never done that.
How old were you?
But preteen, probably.
Oh my God.
At some point, I grew out of it.
Were you hiding it from your parents?
No, I don't think so. I just thought it was cool. I don't know.
Thought it was cool. God.
My guess was like a soda bottle. It would throw. Oh my God.
No, like a mason jar.
Mason jar. It's making my stomach weak.
I'm quivering right now. My eyes are watering.
Don't be so sensitive.
Oh my. No, he looks sick.
But there's nothing grosser than popping pimples. I mean, that's disgusting.
I mean, it is disgusting.
Especially having girls do it. Why do girls like popping pimples so much?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think it's just like they focus in on something and then they just pop the pimple. I don't know.
You're going up to ADD girls and saying, hey, you want to pop this pimple? Better than Ritalin.
I watch all those trash TLC shows. Dr. Pimple Popper does nothing for me. I've never watched it. I've never been intrigued by it.
I watched it. I kind of like it. Dr. I think Sandra Lee is the lady. And it's weird because she's actually somewhat attractive. And then you have this attractive dermatologist working on all of these gargoyles of people.
It is kind of hot. I have seen a few minutes of how she's never grossed out. She's never like, yeah. She just, you know, because it just makes you think like if you were her husband or her man, like she wouldn't be grossed out by you.
She was one of those people in high school that would pop Ryan's pimples, except that she took it too far and wanted to study it in college.
I am so intrigued by the stallion getting his pimples popped by
It's kind of a baller move.
It is such a baller move.
I mean, it's not like it's that they like to do it. I couldn't explain to you why. I've never asked why, but it's just they like it.
Well, then why don't you ever see these pimply geeks getting all these girls in high school? If girls love to pop the pimples, don't you think
was on the baseball team?
I mean, I wasn't silly like that, though. I had a lot of pimples.
Ryan, what was your...
They're just lined up at the locker. Yeah. Take a number.
So many pimples.
In between classes.
All right, I'm ready. Hey. I think this one's ready for you.
Fourth period, you're mine, Ryan.
Hey, don't give it out to anyone else. Don't give it out to Becky. She had one last week. It's my turn. Hey, what... I like thinking about Ryan's... pizza face like a deli where they don't take a number. Hey, what was your popping routine? What was your skincare routine when you had a huge outbreak?
I this is a true story.
All right.
I don't have one. I have no idea. I haven't perfected the madness still.
You didn't use OxyPads.
I got a system. I got a system. Yeah. You want to hear what my system
Of course
is?
I want to hear your system.
I didn't put soap on my face for 4 straight years. Was convinced that soap was giving me pimples.
That is a new one right there.
All right. The pH balance or something was off with my skin complexion.
You're scrubbing off all these minerals and nutrients.
Every time I use Dial, my face would break out. So I swore to myself, stop using soap. And I went through like the final 2 years of high school and 2 years of college without one pimple.
Okay. So you got it down.
It was my system.
Hey, you could grease a hoagie up with that.
I also never use shaving cream. I didn't start using shaving cream until like I was 33.
What?
To use an electric thing?
No. Dry razor.
What?
Oh my because God. I was convinced that shaving...
You're a psychopath.
That is...
I built up the tolerance.
You have sandpaper for skin. No.
Bro, you're not putting this gunk on your face. That's why women get pimples, because they put makeup on their face all the time. So why would I want to put this greasy solution on my face of a shaving cream and break out and clog my pores? So I never did. Put anything on my face but water.
Hey, OxyPads, I swear to God, their PR or head of marketing person, they must have gotten paid a fortune. Because all OxyPads did was burn your face off and rip your skin off. I don't know how those things were popular.
Great marketing. Do they still advertise those things? I haven't seen an OxyPad commercial in forever.
What an OxyPad is, Ryan?
I don't know what an OxyPad is, but I have an Oxy product that I do use, but I rarely use it.
These OxyPads, they look like flattened out cotton balls almost. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. There's this, almost like you're taking communion. All right, and they're in this big jar, and you pull them out, and they're basically covered in alcohol.
Oh.
And you rub them all over your infected area.
All this is
area.
Cotton and rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. You rub it all over your infected area, and then all of a sudden, it just burns beyond belief, and it's screaming on fire.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, it turns bright red, but the next day, it's supposed to go away.
But
all it does is ruin your skin and dries it out so much that your pimple falls off your face. That is what an OxyPad is geared to do.
Now, you know what I've heard about a sneaky good skincare product. This is going to be a wild card here.
Right.
Toothpaste, because it dries out your pimple. I swear to God.
Well, that's what OxyPads do, is dry out everything.
I guess toothpaste dries it out as well if you put a little on the pimple. That's what I heard in high school.
Like before you go to sleep?
Yeah, exactly. Before you go to sleep and leave it on all night. And then next thing you'll wake up in the morning feeling good.
Hey, I also spent a lot of time at the pool in the summertime because my mom always told me that the chlorine dries your skin out. So I lived at the pool in high school.
I used to sunbathe on my stomach because I had bacne like J.J. Redick.
Valdez, it was the king of bacne. He still gets it every once in a while. I'll notice. It's embarrassing.
You see me without my shirt?
I've seen you like when we were working out and stuff. I'm like, oh God, this guy's taking steroids.
And I can't always get rid of it.
And plus, you would tell us every once in a while. I would
have a pimple on my back.
Yeah.
But in high school, like 14 or 15, I was the king of bacne. So I was just pumping my body full of steroids and just raging hormones to the fact that I had to take Accutane. Do you know what Accutane is?
Yes, my brother was on that. That is crazy.
You were an Accutane guy.
I was an Accutane guy.
You're lucky to be here.
I love the fact that as you're a teenager, you hate your pimple so much that you are willing to take a pharmaceutical product that is guaranteeing a suicide. That's one of their side effects.
Right.
This is the only product in the world you have to meet with like a psychiatrist before you take it.
Yeah, and like
you hate your pimple so much, you're willing to risk killing yourself.
Hey, that stuff works. I know somebody that used it, and this person had Ryan Clary style pimples, just like, you know, the entire face burned up.
You look like you dipped your face in a jar of Ragu.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I felt so bad for those guys where like their entire face is red.
Yeah.
And they would take, and this guy took Accutane, and like 2 months later, it was gone.
Yeah, you would be on it for like, it was like a 6 month cycle.
Yeah.
And then.
And you couldn't take it any longer than that.
Yeah.
You definitely would kill yourself.
Yeah. We think we're joking. We're not joking. That was
Accutane
the side effect.
Still around?
I don't know.
I'm guessing it
No,
is.
It is. My brother was on it like a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah. And it works. Like his face is clear now. Like everything.
It was honestly a wonder drug.
I don't really remember.
We should have bought stock in Accutane back in the day.
It was probably a private company.
No.
I don't know. I don't remember it being big in the late 90s when I was first breaking out. I remember later on, I remember hearing people taking it, but I don't think it, I was in high school, early high school or freshman year, none of my friends were on it.
My brother took it.
Is he my age? Is he older?
He's the same age as you.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm sure it was around.
No, it might have been an East Coast thing.
That's stupid.
He's so bitter about
that. I don't know why he's bitter about that.
Well, I feel like I got ripped off. All these teenagers are taking Accutane now.
It's a wonder
drug. They don't know what it feels like.
They don't know. Through high school as a pimply face geek.
Yeah, it's a rite of passage. Right? You're supposed to go 3 straight years with the ugliest face.
What are your thoughts on blackheads?
Well, I still get blackheads every once in a while.
Because I don't use soap on my face.
Yeah. That's probably why. Pores are so clogged.
My nose has so many blackheads on them. If you take a good look at it, I have a lot on my nose.
It is a silly feeling if you go get
The remover,
yeah. Like the charcoal mask. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah, I've done it.
Yeah.
But still.
You're just ripping them out?
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be something bad about that.
Like chicks get like waxes to rip their hair out. Guys will rip out blackheads from their face.
Yeah. And then, of course, you got to look at it.
It's like examine it.
It's like looking at a massive duty. you got to take a sense of pride in it. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that.
Like a monkey staring at a lake.
I feel bad for Russell Wilson. I mean, is that a pimp move? Maybe it's a pimp move.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you did. A pimp move.
That's a pimp move, having your supermodel R&B singer wife popping your zits.
Maybe. Or you're such a cuck that your wife is telling you you need to look better.
Maybe it's
here, let me fix it for you.
Yeah.
I know what drive's picking.
Yeah. Hey, what did you guys Ryan texted me yesterday. He was completely floored that the Junkies have an intern. He didn't understand it. He was so confused by it. And I would assume most of our audience is too. And we didn't really explain it on the show why we have an intern.
No, we have an intern because their parents spend money at the station.
We'll go ahead. I'm sure it will come up on the Junkies at some point. So if you listen to Wednesday's show, you heard them talk to, for a brief moment, John.
Intern John.
Intern John.
Okay, that's going to be his nickname, is Intern John.
That's fine. Intern John.
That's going to be his nickname.
Yeah. Uh-huh. John. We don't have an internship program here at Odyssey.
We don't.
All right? That was phased out five, ten years ago, thanks to Diddy.
Yeah, during the CBS years, that was phased out.
Yeah, because P. Diddy had an intern somehow.
Then that intern sued Diddy because he or she said that they weren't prepared for a job interview.
No, because all Diddy made her do was get coffee. And so CBS at the time was so worried that they would get sued.
About
lawsuits, that they just went away with their internship program. But what they didn't go away with is if your daddy is a big sponsor of the station, you can get whatever you want.
You know how there's different types of privileges?
Yeah.
All right, white privilege, you know, white male privilege.
Sure.
Well, this is radio privilege.
This is radio privilege. This is a foot in the door privilege for old John Lindsay. Yeah.
You might have heard that last name before, haven't you?
He is also, if you're a longtime Junkies listener, John is the cousin of Seamus Lindsay. We've only had two interns the last like 7 years.
And when you know it, both their last names are Lindsay.
Yeah. They're both in line to take over the dealership someday. Neck and neck.
You know what it is? This is like their parents, their very successful car dealership parents, telling them to go slum it for a little bit before you get your real education to take over.
No, I love the Lindsay family because these guys are made men, right? And these guys want nothing more than to work in radio. John, he doesn't know what's good for him. This poor kid, he's in high school. He's not even in college yet.
Yeah.
John's like just turned 18 years old. He's got his dad owns Lindsay Cars.
I swear to God, his last name carries so much weight.
Oh,
he got a key card before I did. When I worked at this building.
So John,
he got a login before I did.
We've had interns before that like were just mildly curious that went on to become doctors or all kinds of stuff. John's here, and he was telling Valdez and I about touring schools in Pennsylvania that he's interested in. He's interested in some like smaller schools like Bucknell and Duquesne and
Lehigh.
Stuff. So I go, what are you looking to major in, business? And he goes, I'm really into broadcasting. I'm like, oh, God, you idiot. Yeah. You don't blow this.
Yeah. You got it made, bud. Not everyone's born on second base.
Yeah. But I like the Lindsay. I like the Lindsay boys because they're just old school radio souls.
Hey, you know, at some point, Seamus and John, they can take over our jobs, and then we'll go work for Lindsay.
That's a good idea.
Intern John, I've been talking to him the last few days. I like him. I think
he's super quiet.
He's no, but once you get to know him, he's got something in him. I'm telling you, he does.
Oh, this is discovering him.
I'm gonna put a little stock in Intern John.
Buying stock in Intern John.
I'm buying stock. I like him. I think he could be really entertaining.
So he'll be here, Junkies listeners, for the rest of the summer. I think 3 days on the Junkies, 2 days on B. Mitch and Finley. The problem is Valdez and I, we literally have nothing for him to do. I don't know. We had two interns every day at one point. I don't know what they did.
I've forgotten how to teach.
He sat in this poor room on Wednesday and maybe did 3 minutes of work.
showed him. So I'm making him in charge of the clips and the single segment podcasting stuff. Ugh. And then I'm just forgetting how to teach. I don't even know how I teach interns how to do the podcasting beforehand. We're just so out of touch. And you know what? It's limiting our horsing around time.
Yeah.
I know. It really is. And Valdez and I know we have
How can we talk? How can we talk trash about the Junks with an intern?
Right. Because he's not a trusted source yet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what you say in front of him could.
He might go home to Papa Lindsay and tell him what we said about the Junkies, and then
it'll get back to the Junks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? We keep it loose in there, and now we got a new person in the locker room. Yeah,
now we got a sports guy asking what we think about the Kevin Durant trades.
Yeah, he loves rumors. He loves sports.
I know. No, the best part about it is we had Linnell in there in the Goldfish Bowl doing updates during the show, and I was producing with it, and Intern John's looking over at me just dying laughing. He thought it was hilarious that we had to stay quiet. So I don't know. I'm putting some stock in
it. He was laughing about staying quiet.
Exactly. He's dying
quirky.
Laughing.
He is a little quirky.
Exactly. So I like to see that there.
All right. Valdez, you and I had a little bit of beef this week, and I was upset with you. And I'll remind you and the listeners why when we come back.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to episode 41 of Bit Season. Before the quick break there, I teased you guys and Valdez about our beef earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little upset at Valdez, but I was mostly upset at Bikey Bhatt.
Bikey Bhatt become just surging up the show character rankings.
I think Mikey is the fifth junkie. And he's never been on air.
Never. He's never once called in.
Has he ever been on the air?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Nobody knows anything about this friend of ours that doesn't seek out any attention. I think he has Twitter somewhere, but he never interacts with anybody.
No, he doesn't.
He just lingers in darkness.
He does. He's the anti-Rom.
But he gets mentioned all the time. But he plays it perfectly. He's got his fingers.
And he has his fingers on the pulse of every show-related
person. Yeah.
Person, host, producer.
Because here's what he's doing, Clary. He's doing golf stuff with Valdez, right? Golf betting.
Yeah,
golf
he found a very soft golf pool for me to get into. That is very advantageous for us.
He knows that I'm the tennis fiend, so mm-hmm. We're always talking about tennis matches, and we're also playing tennis about once a week.
Yeah,
him and Cakes bond over poker.
Uh huh.
Because he runs a poker business.
He does a poker tutorial thing.
And he knows that JP will cling on to anything for any sort of sporting event or, any sort of meetup to play sports. So now he's moved on. Literally everybody he talks to, and he does poker stuff with EB as well.
Yeah, I would say that. And then actually, it's smart of Bikey to avoid Jason. Because just like he's not even trying to get his tentacles into Jason.
Right. Because that's no, a long
no,
line.
I guess Jason is intrigued by him because Mikey Botts is wealthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably his in with Jason. Didn't you say he was like going to retire at 40 or something like that?
Mike's like Valdez's age, and he told me that he works 7 hours a week and he's going to retire in the next few years.
That is the life.
I want to kill myself. Because I'm going to be twice his age. I'm going to be 70 saying to myself, how the hell am I going to retire?
I don't need Accutane to put a bullet in my head. Just think about Mikey's life.
Right.
Compared to mine.
And he's smart because he knows that if he gets into JP, and JP brings him up on the show the most. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Because for whatever reason, like tennis or, and JP found out this week that Mikey was going down to IMG Academy to take tennis lessons, which is butt funny because he's a grown adult and he's chasing this tennis dream. To what end? I don't know.
Like, he thinks he's going to qualify for the US Open.
He loves tennis though. And I felt like, did you hear the problem that I had with Mikey and Valdez?
I did.
All right. So Mikey, if you didn't hear the segment, Mikey bought a camera system to record his matches, some sort of contraption that holds his phone. It's got like an umbrella shade and all kinds
so
of stuff.
So he's recording his matches.
He's recording
in
every point
because he wants to review his game film.
Yeah, and it's like an overhead shot. So he climbs up the fence, it clamps it to the very top of the fence, and then goes home and studies his film about like how to beat Drab, which I didn't understand because he crushes me all the time.
That's going to be kind of exciting, is that he wants film on you so he can study your strengths and weaknesses.
I know. But on 4th of July, okay, the great Valdez knows how in high esteem I hold the 4th of July.
I do.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite holiday. And Valdez waited till just before dusk,
right before the fireworks.
Right when I was getting settled in, he texted me, I can't believe I wasted my whole day watching you play tennis.
Yeah, I sent 8:27. I sent a screen.
What an asshole! Huh?
I sent a screen grab of Drab getting ready to hit this ball into the net. It says, "I can't believe I spent my day off watching this."
Wait, where can we find that video? I haven't seen the video.
It's a very private video.
It's a very private video.
Okay. Okay. Right?
I'll text you.
Okay. Okay.
That I was told. And when Mikey set this whole thing up, he said, don't worry, this is just for me to study film. And then he smoked me. I played the worst match I've ever played. All right. Mikey's already better than me. I'll give him that. Like, he's better than me. But usually it's somewhat competitive. It wasn't competitive at all. It was actually embarrassing. It was embarrassing how bad.
Do you want to know Drab's reaction as soon as he saw himself on his text thread? His reaction is, how do you have that?
I was steaming. I was taking Oakley for a walk, and
he was steaming more than Oakley, big shitty dog.
Dude, I was so Rick that I told Mikey, dude, I'm like, dude, I said, what the F? You screwed me. You told me that was private. And not only did he send it to Valdez, apparently, am I right? He sent it out to the entire golf pool.
Just our team. We have a team of...
A team of in the golf pool.
We have a team of three. And then, so all of us saw the golf pool or the tennis video in the golf pool thread.
So you were just getting smoked.
Here's what you don't understand. I've been keeping up this facade for over 10 years.
Yeah, this is why Drab's so mad. I'm the golf guy, Drab's the tennis guy.
Yes.
All right.
And but no one's actually seen me play tennis.
Drab's played golf with me. And people from the show have played golf with me. So so this allure of me being the golf guy sticks. They go, oh, well, he actually is backing up what he's saying. So he's not just all talk. But Drab, on the other hand, is this tennis savant. And he always says he's the most athletic person here at the station besides Brian Mitchell.
Well, that is true.
But and he's making me put on the tennis channel during the week to watch the to watch the Palm Springs event that they have going on or whatever he's doing.
I enrolled in an open tennis tournament. Yeah, he's played college.
Yeah, he's played in an open tennis tournament. He's even given tennis lessons.
And given tennis lessons.
He's
you're bilking, probably charging a pretty dollar for that.
He's bilking people out of money giving them tennis lessons when, at the end of the day, Drab is Milos from Seinfeld, pretending to be some tennis pro going to a seedy tennis club on the other side of town so nobody sees him play.
My secret has been outed.
Right?
But here's the problem. I used to be pretty decent at tennis. I haven't played in forever.
Okay.
And some of these guys can just pick up, like, it irritates the hell out of me that Cakes, old Tubby Cakes, and he's going to get some Joan Shrapnel here. Tubby Cakes cannot run for 5 years, but Cakes has somehow trained himself that he can just wake up one day and go for a 6 mile run. And it's like no problem. It's just like riding a bike for him. Those guys irritate the hell out of me. I have to play 80 hours of tennis a week to be somewhat decent. And I suck right now. I'm the worst tennis player in history because I only play once every 2 weeks.
The myth is broken.
Yeah.
And that's what Drab, that's what Drab's so pissed off about.
That is what I'm upset about. If Valdez just found out that, oh, Drab lost 6-2, 6-1 to Mikey, that doesn't mean anything to him.
No, it doesn't.
But he saw the video evidence of me just tapping the ball, trying to tap the ball. Yeah,
yeah. You gotta watch some of these. You gotta play.
My machismo is squashed.
Let me ask you this. I think there is someone who's seen you play. It's been Adam Epstein.
Well, Adam's the worst.
Look,
I'm not threatened by Adam.
Look at these lollipops he's hitting.
Yeah, look, I'm just tapping the ball in. There's no pop on those. And you know what Valdez said to me? He goes, Mikey hits the ball way harder than you. It sounds different coming off his racket than yours.
Number one, you can tell he hits it harder. You don't need to be Andre Agassi. Yeah. All right. It doesn't take Pete Sampras to notice that he hits the ball harder. I was just saying, the ball sounds different off your racket.
I did notice two different sounds in that video, I will say. One sounded really hard.
I also like Drab. I didn't realize this. Drab's a big cursor too.
Oh, I love.
He loves swearing.
I got terrible tennis etiquette. I'd be thrown out of one in 5 seconds.
But I'm gonna see a serve right here. A lot of grunting too.
Oh, he's a grunter.
Hey, do you know that Mikey tried to make me feel better?
Yeah. Okay. How did he make it up to you?
Mikey cut up a highlight package of my match losing 2-6-1-6, all right? And sent it over to me of all my winning points.
He sent you the good parts.
It was like 76 seconds long. And for his mea culpa.
Mea culpa. You said mea culpa?
Whatever. I don't care. I also had a confessional at one point to Mikey during the match. It's the audio's in here somewhere, where I walked up to the camera when I was having a breakdown and I told him never to play me again.
Never asked me to play tennis again.
Because you
know what? That happens in golf sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes you have an off round.
Right.
But
was my off round. It was my off round.
Look, sometimes you're out there and you're playing golf and you go and you're going, I'm never going to play again. Like, this is so worthless. Why am I spending $80 to come out here and just hack it around and be a loser and never make any of these shots?
I'm the same way.
That's not me, though, but that's Drab's mentality.
All right, let's see. This is my confession, I think. Oh. I lost it. Now I know what Valdez feels like when he plays the wrong clip on the Junkies.
That's shrapnel.
I know I had something here. Never mind. It's not important. Anyways, I walked up to the camera in full meltdown mode and told Mikey never to play me again, and I'm a piece of shit.
Oh, it's funny.
Anyways, Mikey Sots, the king of ADs on the Junkies in the summer of 22.
Yeah.
I love it.
Valdez, you really wanted to talk about boy bands today.
Oh, yeah,
today.
I did. Yeah, speaking of summer, there's nothing that makes me think about summer more than boy bands. And we brought up the Backstreet Boys because, of all people, Drake came out to sing with the Backstreet Boys. And I was a little... I was a little floored that the Junks didn't have much of a grasp on
how did
on
they
boy
have
bands.
No file on boy bands.
Do you think they just don't they don't want to seem like losers, right? And being a guy and admitting that you listened to boy bands growing up or maybe in your 20s or 30s makes you a loser. So I
wasn't
think
that a great call by me by telling the Junkies that all guys secretly love,
of course,
Backstreet.
Yes,
yeah.
All guys secretly love boy bands.
Now I don't know what it is for Ryan's generation. So I told them like, and I think they could see this because back in the day, guys didn't admit that they liked Michael Jackson because you'd be called a you know a slur or something like that. It wasn't cool for guys to like Michael Jackson back in the day.
No, but everyone listened to him.
But everyone secretly liked him. This is back in the '80s or you know whatever. Our Michael Jackson was Backstreet. Specifically Backstreet.
Yes, it was.
NSYNC, of course, was major too, but I felt like guys liked Backstreet more.
I felt like, well,
because girls were crazy for Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Guys didn't really get that size.
No, because NSYNC. Because he was the competition. Almost.
Right. So we felt a connection.
No, they liked Backstreet Boys because the music fit them. It wasn't like, oh, I love AJ.
But
so
why
much.
Did yeah why did guys why did us guys us millennials why did we like Backstreet so much? What was it about them?
You know what it was? It's because deep down when you're with your posse,
okay.
you're hanging out with your posse, you're thinking about who is who in the Backstreet Boy?
Oh, yeah, what's your persona?
Yeah, what persona are you? Are you the bad boy?
Yeah, okay. What other personas are they? You always say the bad boy, bro. Like, what are the other ones?
No, the hot. You have the hot one, the ladies' man hot one.
Okay,
slash
so who
hot
was
one.
The hot one? Kevin Richardson. I don't even know who the hot one was in Backstreet.
It was
the white Snoop Dogg, Kevin Richardson.
I guess, or no, it might have been Nick.
Oh, Nick maybe was. Yeah, you're probably right. Brian Luttrell, I know, was the voice.
Yes, the voice slash older, like the older brother slash voice of reason, wise guy.
Okay.
All right, that's Brian. All right, AJ, the bad boy.
AJ, of course. Hey, you and me got so psyched when they asked us who's the bad boy of Backstreet.
because that was our layup.
that was such our layup.
And then Kevin. What was Kevin? Was Kevin the jokester? No. Howie was the jokester, right?
Howie was he was like the Tito of Backstreet. Like nobody got that size for Howie.
He was just there.
He was just kind of there. He was the Joey Fatone.
but Nick was considered the hot one. Yeah, and also I don't why does everyone think like their songs are gay?
I don't know. I know that I Want It That Way is one of the greatest singles of all time. let me ask you a Backstreet trivia question.
Okay.
All right. I want to see how big of a what do they call the Backstreet fans?
I don't know.
All right. So what was the first big single or the big single off the Black and Blue album?
Larger Than Life.
Wrong. Wrong.
What?
Shape of My Heart.
Oh, that was Larger Than Life was on their new Millennium soundtrack. Well, not Millennium CD.
Larger Than Life was the first album. I'm pretty sure their big album was the second album. Black and Blue was like the album that came out in like 2002 or something.
I like the idea that a radio producer can go into the lab and basically create this boy band out of nothing.
Because that was Larry Rudolph or whatever
It was the guy that just took the Larry, formula.
Maybe it was Perlman or something.
It was something like that. But he took the formula for like these R&B groups of the 80s.
Yeah.
And then just twisted it around to put white guys in it.
Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, Lou Pearlman.
Definitely. Is he dead?
Yeah, died. He definitely died.
Oh. And to swindle them out of all their money. And he just, he used that formula, but put it into white people to make an astonishing boy band.
All right. Let me ask you one last boy band trivia.
Okay.
You and me, giddedly, is that a word? Mentioned O-Town. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Who I think Lou Pearlman also started. Do you remember the name of the star, the Justin Timberlake of O-Town? He had three names.
Oh, I thought it was, wasn't
his
there
first
a
name was a girl's name, but it was blank,
oh,
blank,
Van,
blank.
Was it something Van something?
Nope.
What?
Ashley Angel Parker.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's him. Holy moly, you should see what this guy's doing now.
Ashley Angel Parker?
No. So there's six of them, right?
Uh-huh.
What's it?
What, from O-Town?
Yeah. What was the Ikeka Keanu?
I don't really remember anyone else in there.
Didn't one of them die of like a heroin overdose or something?
Wouldn't surprise
Seems
me.
About right. Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Now we're talking like the junkies right now. We have
we're asking
questions. Well, no frame of reference.
You know, where's O-Town from?
I don't know. Come on. O-Town.
Orlando, yeah. Rick.
That's like, where all these boy bands are made out of. They're all from Florida.
That was a layup for you Gen Zers.
I mean, like, I don't know where O-Town is. Orlando? Who cares about Orlando?
All right, who's the hot, who's the pop, Harry Styles. Is Hary Styles the Gen Z version of Backstreet?
No.
The guy secretly like him?
No. I got that for
you. One Direction's the new boy band. Well, like the latest boy band. What's the K-pop group?
But I don't think Americans really like K-pop.
Yeah.
I don't think they're...
It's more so... I mean, this isn't a boy band, but I guess it is. Like, if you classify a boy band as an all-boy band, then I would say Imagine Dragons is that.
That's a rock group.
I feel like they could be a boy band. They could be.
No, who's someone that women love that guys secretly like? I think it's like the Biebs or Harry
Justin
Styles.
Bieber.
I would say Bieber.
But do people, you're the same age.
Yeah.
You and your boys secretly like Biebs?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was a young teenager, I was listening to this song, Baby, Baby, Baby. Oh, like when he was like a silly teenager. That was a great song. I'm not going to lie.
What's the mama song? I get nice for that one.
Oh, when he brings out his mom?
He says, like, my mama doesn't like you and she loves everyone or so.
I don't know.
I'm on a 90s boy band thing on Spotify. I was just reading through some of them. I got size for this boy band, Savage Garden. You remember that?
Of course. Was that really? I put them in the rock category. When I think of boy band, they got to be dancers.
LFO?
LFO boy band.
Oh, this silly boy band.
Ryan, do you know anything about LFO?
No, I got no file.
You got no file. Chinese food makes me sick.
I like girls who wear...
I don't know.
Oh, my God. You know,
I don't know.
It's just...
Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah.
Also, I love the fact that the boy band model still works now.
It's tried and true.
I know, but the playbook is all there. You have the boy band, massive success.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets ripped off. There's one person who is more talented than every single person on the boy band.
Yeah,
they go solo.
But nobody really went solo from Backstreet. That's what I liked about them.
They stuck together.
They kind of said Nick Carter maybe a time.
I would say Nick Carter was the one that.
But I couldn't tell you one Nick Carter song.
Right? I know, but it's an attempt to go solo.
Right, maybe he had a small attempt, but Backstreet, for the most part, they stuck together. I appreciate that.
All right, and then everybody goes back to a reunion tour once the person's solo career
kind of runs its course.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think Harry Styles is too big.
He's way too big.
He's never going back to one
direction. He might go back later in life, but not right now. Right now he's as hot as, but I don't understand why are there no like girl groups as hot as the guy groups?
What do you mean, Mike? Like
another Spice Girl.
Spice Girls or
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child or TLC.
TLC, yeah.
They were big back in the
day. Those were big, but there's
Cheetah Girls. Yeah, the Cheetah Girls. You know about the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, I know about the Cheetah Girls.
I don't have a file on the Cheetah Girls.
Well, they were like a Disney show also. Disney. Back in my prime, they were silly.
Sounds like it.
I think Raven Simone was in the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, Raven was in it. Raven Simone, silly.
I want
She's
more.
She's not silly. She's not.
I want more girl groups.
I don't know if there are any right now. Maybe
there.
I really have no.
It's just a dying breed, if we're gonna be honest.
I'm sure someone will let us know.
I don't know. A boys band nowadays, it's not going to happen in social media. Your boys will grill you on social media if they catch you listening to that. And it'll just be a nightmare for them. That poor 14-year-old sitting in class is going to be getting grilled by the boys. That's not going to be a good thing.
I always like it when we go down memory lane when Ryan has no idea what we're talking about. It makes me feel like the junkies.
Yeah, I know.
When we go, you're so old.
Yeah, it makes me feel old.
Man,
old.
Radio.
Old man, I know.
Radio.
I know.
When were you born again?
99. Oof. I know. Young. But hey, it's all right. I'm getting some more wisdom listening to you guys, so it's a good thing.
Before we wrap up, are any of you guys concerned about JP being a negligent father when it comes to sports?
I have a lot of thoughts about
this. Maybe we should have done a bigger topic on it, but yeah. It's definitely eye-raising.
What is going on with... I swear to God, JP's the only human on Earth who has 36 hours in a day.
That's so annoying. Sit on the couch for a few minutes.
I've never seen someone who has to squeeze the most amount of time in a day out like JP does.
Can he just let his 5-year-old be 5 years old? They're beating her down. No, and also JP, I said this on the show. He wants us to support him.
He's secretly asking for help. He really is.
And it's not because he wants to go, like he wants Isabella to go home and sit on the couch. He wants her to be involved in a sport that he endorses.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like swimming, so he wants to pull her out of it.
Oh, there's a billion times. he definitely doesn't like swimming because all he talks about is the amount of wading around that has to be done for these matches.
Yep.
He comments on that. But I don't how do you have this much energy when you're 5 years old? And how do you have this much energy when you're 52 years old?
You don't.
To run around like this.
Well, I don't think JP does. I think that's what he's getting at. He's burnt out. At the end of the day, like he's running himself too thin, and he had a child when he was 50, and it's a young man's game. All right, the pool babysitting is a young man's game.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time. He's bored of it. He may not be tired, but he's bored of it. He's been there, done that. He doesn't want to sit at a pool for 5 hours with watching his daughter's sports career.
What's going on with this? Jess is so competitive thing.
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know her that well to get a file on it, but it can't be good.
Is this why she's doing 12 different iterations of camp? Jess, swim camp, swim meets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Obviously good to keep your kids busy, but you got to give them a break at some point during the day or, you know, a few weeks here and there.
I'm
running her ragged.
Well, I'm worried that so she's obviously a good swimmer. If she's 5 years old and participating in 8 and under swim meets. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's good. But I'm afraid that she's going to be tired of it before she hits 12.
I know. Well, these swimmers, it's the most miserable sport there is. All those Michael Phelps out there, like they dread training for the Olympics.
Of course.
It's like the worst thing. It's laborious. It's a grind. It's like similar to cross country or something. Like it sucks.
What did you think about my theory? JP kind of secretly jealous that he has to give up his time to run Isabella around all over Montgomery County, maybe taken away from his leisure activities such as golf and tennis with Bikey Bots.
Yeah, it seems like he's getting plenty of tennis in. I think he's irritated because he explains it to me that you like are peer pressured into volunteering and he's got to like run the concession stand, you know, like once every 2 weeks. And the other time he's got to put all the chairs away after the meet.
Those are the best times, though. The concession stands at swim meets.
Why can't he just drop her off and come back a few hours later? Like, why does he got to stick around the whole time?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, who else is going to stick around then?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that she's five,
the coach?
But...
The coach isn't a babysitter.
I don't remember my parents.
My parents
if they
never
a coach,
stuck around for practice.
Sticking around for practice.
Okay, well, maybe not for practice. I don't know why they're doing that, but I mean,
or
I don't
meets,
know.
Yeah. But I guess it is a meet.
I don't know. I just know...
I'd say I'll be here at the end.
Don't you feel like a kind of like a piece of crap, though? Like the way that he's running all around and you are going home taking a 2 hour nap?
No. Because I also get antsy and I don't like to stick around my house. I like to get in the car and like drive to Dick's Sporting Goods and
yeah.
look around.
Just like peruse with, you know, what's new.
I certainly don't spend that time working out.
I gotta go look at the shoes.
He's too active. His body's gonna break down. The one thing that Trump said that I agree with that I remember is that he said that your body's like a battery.
At some point, when it runs out,
and you're using up too much of that battery,
too much juice
during life, and he likes to take it easy.
Hey, I get behind that.
I'm not into politics at all, but that's the one thing Trump did that stood out to me. I'm like, you know what? That's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's why he recharges his battery a lot with naps.
You gotta take and get those naps in.
I know you're a big napper. I can't do naps.
Well, that's because I go to bed at 11:20 at night.
That's true.
And wake up at 3:50. That's why I'm taking these 2 hour naps.
Ugh.
All right, guys, a lot of fun here today during episode 41. EB's back next week. You know that means more non-sports segments, and so looking forward to Bit Season next week. Enjoy the Junkies tomorrow. Great show, guys. I thought we had some fun.
Yeah, we had some fun.
Good
time
today.
And congratulations to Ryan again.
Yeah, social media superstar.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon, and thanks for listening, Bitties.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.